This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet. Maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Did the CIA murder Frank Olson? We'll dig into that today. We're also going to talk about a truth out there. All of society seems to know. Everyone knows it. Almost nobody wants to actually come out and say it out loud. And why that's dangerous. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about being careful what you import into your country, into your state. And finally, naming your son Adolf Hitler. But first, mind control, torture, manipulation of the mind, a Manchurian candidate, a super assassin. This is the stuff they make movie after movie after movie after movie about, and I eat all of them up. And I mean all of them. I love that stuff. You do too, otherwise they wouldn't keep making movies about them. There's such an underrated movie out there. I don't know why I just thought of this right now, called Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson. So underrated. Highly recommend it. Fascinating. But the truth is, all that stuff started somewhere. In general, these things begin in some kind of reality. And the truth is, it's shocking how many people don't know it, but your government, my government, believed in it all the way, believed in it so much, we brought in Nazi scientists from concentration camps to help us do it. Didn't know that, did you? Let's rewind just a little bit before we get to our story today. World War II. This is not a World War II day, although we've had several and we'll have several more. But you can't tell the story that we're going to tell today without laying out the groundwork of not just World War II, but the national and international mood at the time. That's one of the things I'm emphatic about when it comes to history, is how different times were. People don't change. That's why we learn, you and I, from history every single day. People don't change, but times do. Fears do. Priorities do change throughout the different nations, different cultures, different periods of time. World War II was something so shocking and horrific to the entire world that it caused many, 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 many people to scramble, think the end was nigh, and start doing drastic things they would never have dreamt of doing before. You see, World War II is what? It's Saving Private Ryan to you and me. It's a great movie, a great book, a good documentary. Oh, did you see this? It's a cool Medal of Honor story on Medal of Honor Monday, which we do every Monday to honor Medal of Honor winners. Back then, if you lived through it, think about what you're seeing. Yes, you had World War I, and it was so big and horrific, 10 million dead, and you're just shocked at it. If you're alive during World War II, think for a moment. I know I have listeners who are old enough, although probably sadly not many anymore. Think for a moment what you're seeing during World War II. I'm sorry, there's now a weapon that can destroy an entire city with one bomb? Wait, what do you mean Holocaust? Most people hadn't even ever heard of that term. Holocaust? He killed 6 million people for their religion? Communism? I mean, not just our enemies, communism? Stalin owns how much of Europe now? How much of Asia? Go look at a map at the Soviet Union post-World War II. There are shifts going on in the world during World War II that were positively frightening. People seeing death on a scale they'd never seen before. Ideologies scary to most people, like communism, as it should be. Ideologies aggressively on the move. Economies changing. Nations disappearing. You think, and I think, it's been, you know, a bit of a rough year. Had some coronavirus stuff, some Antifa Black Lives Matter street violence, had an election that didn't look like it went our way. Oh, 2020's been tough. Put yourself in 1943. I'm not saying that to put down what you're going through now. I'm saying think what the human mind is reading about. Back then, listening to on the radio, half the country would gather around their radios and listen to FDR's fireside chats, as he called them. He'd get on there and give these long updates on the war and state of affairs. Half the country. You couldn't get half the country to do anything today. The closest you'd get would be watching the Super Bowl, and that's a third. The world is shifting, and people are scared. And when people are scared and things are shifting, people do crazy, crazy things. Not always irrational, but they take drastic steps. We see communism during World War II and post-World War II reshaping not just Europe, not just parts of Asia. We see it reshaping the entire world, and we, free Americans, are scared to death of it, as we should have been. We were scared to death of it because it's a deadly, disgusting ideology that's easily packaged and prepared and sold to the masses. That's why it's so appealing to so many. We can all be equal? Oh, nice. Easy to sell, frightening in practice. We hated the Soviet Union and we were scared of them. And then it wasn't just the Soviet Union. Remember, post-World War II, we hardly ever talk about this. You know what? I may do a show on this next week. China falls to communism post-World War II. China goes through a living hell at the hands of the Japanese during World War II. They had these internal struggles between a man named Chiang Kai-shek. He was kind of our guy versus the commies, but then they kind of joined together but kind of didn't to defeat the Japanese, and we helped out. China's a disaster post-World War II. Remember, I think it's 20%. I may have this number wrong. 20% of the casualties in World War II were Chinese. Look, they're different. It's a separate part of the world. It was separate, really, from our theater. We didn't do a ton of fighting there. And China's our historical enemy, so you don't really look at that part of it much. But Chinese people died by the millions over there. And they went to communism. All right, naming your kid Adolf Hitler and more. Hang on.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sydney Watson going to attempt to explain to me what I've been seeing in Australia. Have you seen these videos, Jewish producer Chris? in Australia, it looks like something happening out of China. They have cops in riot gear batoning little old ladies and handcuffing them for coronavirus restriction violations. I'm not making this up. I thought it was a fake internet video. I was sending it around to a couple friends last night because I was trying to get verification for the show. I'm talking a lady. It's just some woman. She looks like she's about 100 pounds soaking wet, and they're just taking the wood to her. Put on your mask. Talk to Sydney Watson about that. Plus, those Australian accents are kind of hot, aren't they, Chris? If we're being honest. Don't call it knockoff British. You know what? I'm telling her you said that. Back to the CIA. Back to communism. We watch the Soviet Union aggressively take over. It's our own fault. Aggressively take over Eastern Europe. We watch China fall to communism. We're watching the world reshape after World War II. And we begin to get a little nervous about some of the steps the Nazis are taking. I should say the Soviets are taking with the Nazis. Some of the steps the British are taking. Remember, in situations like this, you don't only worry about your enemies. You worry about your allies, too. We hated Nazis. I'm not going to act like we're pro-Nazi country. America, as a government, as a people, hated Nazis. And what's great about this place, gosh, I love this country. We hated Nazis before anybody knew about a single Jew going to the gas chamber. Remember, there was a huge, I shouldn't say huge, there was a Nazi movement in America called, we're not going to go off on this today, this is just a side tangent, called the German-American Bund. Huge. They even booked an event at Madison Square Garden. Tens of thousands of people. There were several times that outside screaming at them, trying to beat them all up. Our own organized crime guys, especially the Jewish bosses like Meyer Lansky, would send his hitmen to go beat them up with ball bats and chains when they'd have Nazi movements. We hated Nazis long before hating Nazis was cool. I'm not going to act like we're pro-Nazi, but during World War II, Hitler, not the best guy in the world, is really interested in weapons of mass destruction. V1 rockets, V2 rockets, biological weapons, nuclear weapons. Remember, Germany was pursuing all these things aggressively. And because they're freaking German, they had really, really, really good scientists on it. Germany's just good at that science and engineering thing. Good for them. Post-World War II gets really uncomfortable, doesn't it? Because you need to have war crimes trials. You need to hang this guy. You need to hang that guy. That stuff is important. Justice is important. But let me ask you. You're the one in charge. Try to do the best you can to set aside any personal biases. If there are two scientists, two Nazis standing in front of you, and both of them have committed horrific war crimes, you know they have, or at least been part of them. These are bad guys. You cannot defend them. But they possess knowledge about a weapon that would give you weapons superiority over every other country on Earth. Both of them do, right? They both possess the same amount of knowledge. And your arch enemy grabs one of them, and instead of killing him, they take him home. They give him a nice house, nice car, pretty girls. Here's some money. Hey, man, just build a bomb for us. Now, your enemy just did that. You have your guy. You can do whatever you want with him. Are you killing him? Chris just said, as a Jew, I'm taking him. Look, I'm asking you to set aside your personal bias as much as possible. I'm not defending the guy. What are you doing with him? Well, we made the decision. I'm not going to say it's the right decision. I'm not going to say it's the wrong decision. I wasn't there. But we had something called Operation Paperclip, where we brought Nazi scientists to the United States of America, rocket scientists and others. And when I say and others, this was more than just the atom bomb guys. We had doctors who had worked with patients in concentration camps. I don't know how bad they were. I don't know to what extent. I'm not going to go conspiracy theory nutter on you here today, but I do know what I just told you is a fact. We had German doctors who worked in concentration camps on behavioral adjustments, and we brought them in. And we brought them in for a bunch of different reasons. One of the reasons, though, was this. How about this? Post-Korean War, during Korean War, we're still figuring out what to do with these Nazis. Remember, we had a bunch of safe houses in places like Germany where we would interrogate Nazis and try to figure out the truth. But we still had some in our possession. During the Korean War, you obviously lose men as prisoners. And we had a couple prisoners been taken captive by the dirty commies, and they came out and said, I've switched sides now. I don't want to go home. I'm a communist. To us, to America, that was a confirmation of the sum of all our fears. I can't tell you how huge that was for Americans back then. We were already worried that this communist infection was going to spread like wildfire and destroy our freedoms right here at home. Now we find out our guys, our best and brightest, you know, everyone loves the troops. These are our boys over there fighting for freedom. What? The commies got to him? They had to have used hypnosis or some kind of mind control on him. That's what we thought. We were at the point we were starting commissions, looking at government employees. Hey, how many leftist magazines have you read? Tell me about the books on your shelf. I see you went to a meeting here. Commies meet at this place. Are you a communist? Hunting down commies, as we should, but that's another story. We were worried about communist propaganda. I saw the coolest thing on this last week. The videos they were putting out about the communist propaganda at the time, and it was something the communists did intentionally. Not all these fears were wingnut lunatic fears. The communists knew how disgusting their religion could be, and they were dedicated to propaganda, making it look fantastic. That's why commies, including in America today, suppress information, censor information. You can't say this about that. You can't say this about that. You can't say this about that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Only say the approved things. We certainly haven't had anything go on in this country over the past year where you're not allowed to say certain things about it, right? Where only approved things are good. That wouldn't happen here. Let's not worry about it. We're moving on. We're worried about China, Soviet Union, North Korea, and we think these commies are infiltrating here. And we start thinking, well, if they're manipulating people, if they're sending spies in here, and we believed, and turned out to be right, they were sending lots of spies here trying to get our atom bomb, trying to get our secrets, which of course they ended up doing. Well, we thought we had better start doing the same thing back to them. All right. Be careful what you import. And some other things. Hang on. Natural medicines, holistic healing approaches, these things are known to alleviate things. Things that, well, we all have something that plagues us, don't we? Anxiety, joint pain, sleeplessness. I know. I see the emails. I got it all too. The truth is, I don't want to put any more man-made chemicals in my body. It's not good for you. I know it's not good for me. I put enough of that stuff in there. That's why I choose CBD. And I choose Doctor's Trusted CBD Company to buy my CBD because they're a one-stop shop for me. They have everything I need, and they've already done all the work. They research the whole industry to find the best, highest quality CBD, and that's what I get there. Go to doctorstrustedcbd.com. That's doctorstrustedcbd.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That gets you free shipping and 10% off. The Nazis and the Japanese were all about human experimentation during World War II. Most people know about the Nazis doing experiments on Jews during the Holocaust. It's just one of those things that gets out there. People do not know as much about the things the Japanese did. Terrible, terrible things, including to American servicemen. I'll do a story on that one day too, but that's not what this is about. But post-World War II, we now are worried this is something our enemies do, and we haven't really done it, and we don't know anything about it, and they do, and guess what? Let's bring them in. The CIA begins a program in 1953, although even that is disputed because the details on the rest of this story are going to start to get fuzzy. Some say it started in 1950, some say it started in 1953, but the program was called MK Ultra. Even sounds like it should be in a movie, but that's actually what it was called. I'm not making this up. Remember, the CIA is new. The CIA is new at this time. The precursor for the CIA, our spy agency during World War II, was called the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, and it was new during World War II. Prior to that, we didn't really have a spy agency. It's not as if we had never had spies, but it was, okay, we need like a whole group here to organize resistance, guerrilla warfare. And we're feeling our way through the building of an established spy agency as we open up the CIA and figure out what do we want it to do? What don't we want it to do? And what should be its focus? Here's a mistake that you make and I make all the time. I know I'm guilty of this. We think about things, especially federal government things, even though in general we dislike the federal government. We think about federal government things and we assume it's so big with so many people in it and so well funded. And I'm sure there's a bunch of smart people in there that they can focus on everything. Well, yeah, they can worry about North Korea and Russia and China and Venezuela and take on Islamic terrorism. And I talk to my CIA buddies, especially my former CIA buddies, and they tell me you have no idea how narrowly focused these large agencies, including CIA, really are. You'll get a director, you'll get a president in there. He's worried about one thing, maybe two things at a time. We had a bunch of them in there. Islamic terrorism, go, stop it, goodbye. At this time, communism is all anybody cares about. Stop the Soviet Union. Stop the spread of communism. Stop it internationally and stop it at home. Remember the commissions I told you about? Hauling people in front of some authorities. Tell me about this book. Why is it in your home? Oh, you can't. You're fired. We are that kind of worried about it. And we say, well, what can be done? What can be done? Because in our minds, the commies are here. James Jesus Angleton. You probably don't know his name. Don't worry about remembering it. Just know that James Jesus Angleton, he was in charge of counterintelligence. And I don't mean, the reason I tell you don't worry about him is it's not just him, it was all of them. But James Jesus Angleton flat out said The Soviets have a spy here, probably several spies here, high up in our government. And this dude was a highly, highly intelligent, well-regarded dude. He wasn't some wingnut. I mean, he may have ended up being one, but he wasn't some wingnut. We thought there were commies everywhere. You think your neighbor might be one. Is the president's chief of staff a commie? Is the president himself a Manchurian candidate? You may laugh about things like that now. They weren't laughing back then. They thought this stuff happened. They thought the Soviets had snatched up every Nazi of capability and that they were miles ahead of us when it comes to mind manipulation, interrogation. We want information on truth serums. How can I tell if this guy's a commie? The Soviets are so good. You know, you make the mistake all the time of assuming the enemy you fear is better and smarter and bigger and stronger than he is. And it's not as if the Soviet Union wasn't a concern. But in our mind, because Stalin was so big and powerful at the end of World War II and so aggressive, in our mind, they were already light years ahead of us. In our mind, the Soviets already had a truth serum. They could just sprinkle it on you and you would give out all of America's secrets. They could find all of our spies. The Soviet army was not really considered something that we could necessarily defeat. Wrap your mind around that. And that may have actually been the case at the end of World War II. Now, that didn't last because the dirty commie scum, they tore the economy apart of their country, as all commies do, and they couldn't afford to keep their army up. But remember, back to the real fear thing. Post-World War II, the Soviet Red Army is as powerful as any army on the face of the planet. Probably the best tanks on the planet, planes, pilots, experienced soldiers. We're worried, and we think they're ahead of us, and we begin MKUltra, and it is some of the dirtiest, most unethical stuff you've ever heard in your entire life. A Swiss lab created LSD, acid, that hallucinogenic drug for you bigger squares who've never heard of it before, and we begin contracting things. Sometimes the CIA would just overtly do it. Oftentimes the CIA would put up shell companies or shell organizations to pay universities to conduct their own experiments. I don't mean one or two, 80 plus. It gets worse than that. We got word of a Canadian doctor. This Canadian doctor was already working with LSD, drugging people out of their minds, drugging people, then hypnotizing people. We were interested in certain things. I want you to understand why we were doing this as well. One, we wanted to be able to bring in some CIA agent we suspected of being a commie and fill his veins full of some truth serum and have him tell us, I'm a dirty commie, please kill me. That's one. Two, we wanted to know, could you blank the human mind? Could you erase it? Could you erase only parts of it? Could you change people into two different people? Don't laugh. This is something they were interested in and thought they could do back in the day. And when I mean change people into two different people, this is what I mean. I'm Jesse Kelly here. Jesse Kelly, radio host, demigod. What, Chris? Jesse Kelly. Oh, I hear a phrase. Water is cold. And boom, I switch into somebody who's not Jesse Kelly. I have a special piece of information I can relay to someone else. Once I relay it to him, he tells me the same phrase again, the water, it's cold, and boom, I turn back into Jesse Kelly. And not only did I deliver the message, I have no recollection of delivering the message. We wanted to know how much you could control the human mind. All right. We're going to talk about a real truth everybody in the country knows. And we'll finish up this story. Hang on a second.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the 1 in 3 could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Pre-Diabetes Awareness Partners.
Chris. You know what we need? We need some CIA spy-type music for when we start going into experiments and spy stuff. Remember, we're going to talk about minding what you import into your country, into your state, into your home in just a little bit. We're going to talk to Brandon Darby about cartel stuff. Maybe we'll ask him about torture. No, that's too dark. It's too dark. It's too dark. Brandon Darby's coming up in a couple hours. It's too dark. He's this cartel expert, for those who don't know him. And I mean expert. The guy has snuck into Mexico in the trunk of a car because the cartels will cut his head off if they find him. That kind of cartel expert. But I don't think we can ask him about cartel torture stuff, Chris, because of Ivan the Terrible yesterday was so dark. It was so dark. When you're nailing turbans onto people's heads, that's too much. It's too much. I'm just relaying the information, all right? I am a slave to the news, Chris. Slave to reality, really. We start a program, MK Ultra. This Canadian guy drugging people, hypnotizing people. He's really taking it to a new level as far as wiping the mind. He drugs them out of their mind, and I mean out of their mind, mass quantities of LSD. Then he'll hypnotize them. Then he'll abuse them, sometimes physically. Electric shock therapy, trying to eliminate minds. We want to start this. Well, you can't just do something like that on anybody. It all comes down to practicality. Okay, you would like to experiment on some people. We only have so many captives nobody knows about or cares about. Where are we going to find these people who are just going to let us experiment on them? So we decided we'd go a couple different routes. One, we would go with the university route, where, again, the university oftentimes wouldn't even know they're working with the CIA, but we would pay for some university to conduct an experiment, a purely voluntary experiment, with some college kids. You know how this works. You've heard about these things before. Some of you may have been involved in them yourself. Put an ad out in the student newspaper. Hey, want to make $25? If you're this age and this weight and so on. Yes, I know you want to make $25, because if you're this age and this weight, show up here at this point in time. Medical experiment. College kids show up, isolate them in a room, give them some acid, test their results, heart rates, all these things. It was more advanced than that, but I'm just giving you my community college version of that. So that can tell you something about LSD and hypnosis and things like that if you're the CIA and you're interested in this kind of stuff, but it can't really tell you everything, can it? You can't treat a college kid who shows up for a voluntary medical experiment like some Soviet spy you have to get the truth out of. So where are you going to find people you can do that to? Prison. One of the first places they go. And this is so, it's so ugly, it's beyond belief, but it tells you the things people will do when they're scared and looking for a solution. We go to a prison rehab center where people are rehabbing from heroin addiction. I am not a big drug guy. I've shared with you my drug history. Did cocaine once. Have done plenty of marijuana in my lifetime, in my youth. Plenty of beer and whiskey. I just was never a drug guy. I don't want to make myself out to be a saint. I grew up in Bozeman, Montana, where you really couldn't find anything beyond marijuana. So maybe I would have. I don't know. I was an idiot. I probably would have done it all. But heroin shooting things into your veins, LSD, that's a no for me. But I have known people who have gone through heroin addiction. They got themselves help. They came out of it. And one of the things that has struck me about it is, in an honest moment, I've had more than one of them tell me. We're talking years separated from it. I've had more than one of them tell me, it was so great, I still think about doing it all the time. It is an evil, evil thing that just locks people in. And now we have a prison rehab center where people are recovering from heroin addiction. We pull them in and say, I want you to do this experiment for us. If you do it, we'll give you heroin. And we start drugging them out of their gourds on LSD. 77 days in a row, 5 months in a row, and then rewarding these guys who were struggling with addiction, rewarding them with heroin for agreeing to do the LSD tests. Whitey Bulger, that famous Boston mobster, Whitey Bulger says he was a victim of it. Which brings us to Frank Olson. Did the CIA murder Frank Olson? Hang on.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
They would take away all your senses, play sounds so you couldn't hear, put you in the dark, then give you hallucinogenic drugs, then shock you out of your gourd, and then play words for you, trying to program you, trying to deprogram you. And it gets worse than that. They had apartments, Greenwich Village, other places around the country where they would bring in known drug dealers, drug addicts, criminals, drug them without them knowing, and then they would have, straight out of the movies, secret cameras set up in these apartments to film the reaction from drugging people unknowingly. If you thought that was bad, I guess I should say, if you didn't think that was bad, you got some problems. But if you thought all that was bad, you cannot possibly even wrap your mind around what they did in San Francisco. I'll tell you in a second.
Jesse Kelly returns next. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
$25 gift cards to raffle off. So that's a lot of money cash here. We have also four $100 gift cards to give away. So again, you want to make sure you get out here to vote. And then we have four $250 gift cards to raffle. And our grand prize is going to be a $500 Visa gift card.
Yikes. That's some audio for you. A little cash for ballots thing there. Remember, we have Sydney Watson from Australia coming up here in about 20 minutes. What is going on? Why are the riot police arresting women in Australia? We have somebody named Adolf Hitler. Somebody named their son Adolf Hitler. We have to discuss this very important topic. Let's wrap up this MK Ultra thing, though. You can't believe what they actually did to people in San Francisco. Now, I am going to be delicate as I tell this part of the story. I will always strive to do a show, although I understand I am a little rough around the edges, to put it mildly. I always strive to do a show that you never have to turn off with your kids in the car. I'm not going to hold back when I describe to you the things Ivan the Terrible did. That's just history. There are other adult-themed things I try to tiptoe around because I don't want you to ever have to turn the show off with your kids. When I get these emails, I let my kids listen. I listen with my kids. I love that stuff. I think that is the coolest thing in the world to me. I cannot believe people actually listen to the show. This many people listen to the show. We keep getting picked up in all these great cities. And this many people listen to the show with their kids. It's unreal. I'm living a dream. I'll tell you how I got there here in just a few. So this part of the story, I'm going to be delicate, but I can't dance around it. We were very concerned, justifiably so, about the Soviet use of women to get secrets out of men in certain situations. I don't know that I'll ever be able to actually do a history segment on it because it would maybe I'll do like a side podcast thing. It's just not something I can ever describe that you can listen with your kids. But the Soviets, they had programs, entire programs set up like this, training women in specific ways to comfort men in such a way that men will run their mouths a bit too much. Men in important positions, men with classified information. We were very concerned about this, and understandably so. And let's be really fair here to the Soviets. Although I'd never really want to be fair to those dirty commies. Let's be fair to the Soviets. This is not unheard of in the history of mankind. Using a beautiful woman and the things men enjoy to gain information from someone else is common. What's not common is the United States government using it on its own citizens. We went to San Francisco. We found some ladies of the night. We found men who had classified information. Had these ladies of the night use their powers of persuasion on these men to get them into compromising situations that were being filmed unknowingly to everybody, and then go through the process trying to see at what point in time is a man most susceptible to give up said classified information. We did that on our own citizens and filmed it. But let's wrap this thing up here. Frank Olson. Frank Olson was an Army / CIA guy working on this project. Frank Olson, we know, was at one point in time in Europe. Remember, this is a time where the CIA had houses in Europe where they could interrogate people a bit more aggressively. We don't know if Frank Olson was involved there. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not saying anything I don't know. Frank Olson goes to a retreat, a CIA / Army retreat for the guys involved in MK Ultra. At this retreat, Frank Olson is drugged out of his mind on LSD. They all are. They slip them all drugs. The guys didn't know it. Frank Olson, after this, is depressed, according to his wife, moody. The CIA is so concerned about him, they continue to haul him out of Maryland into New York to see a CIA psychiatrist. And then one day, as he's rooming with somebody else, Frank Olson shatters out a 10th floor hotel window in New York and splatters on the sidewalk. It was sold as a gigantic lie to the family at first. Then the family didn't accept it, sued the CIA. CIA strokes him a $700-some-thousand check to shut up. They shut up about it until one day Frank Olson's son goes to the exact hotel room where the window was broken and Frank Olson splattered on the sidewalk, walks through the room and realizes there's no possible way he had enough room to sprint towards that window, dive through it, and splatter on the sidewalk below. And we'll never, ever, ever know the answer. Because in 1973, CIA Director Richard Helms, as the program was coming to a close, destroys all the files. There was something called the Church Committee in 1975 to investigate it. There was a Freedom of Information Act request that was put in by a researcher, which is the only reason we know anything that I just told you, is they actually found some documents they didn't get to destroy. But on top of being a really cool story for this supposedly disbanded program, I honestly, they say they disbanded it. Who would know? I don't know. Who would know? I don't pretend to know these things. Do I think they did, Chris? No, absolutely not. I don't think they're still doing that to U.S. citizens, but I think it's a spy agency's job, quite frankly, to go find things that will help get the truth out of the enemy. I actually have no problem with it. I don't want you doing it on American citizens, but if you want to do it on, you know, Italians, that's fine with me. I'll quit, Chris. We can make jokes. The part that gets me about this whole thing, though, and I don't know whether this is just me or whether this is something that bothers everybody, but it's bothering me now about the things we're seeing about coronavirus especially. I don't feel like I'm ever going to know the truth. When it comes to election fraud, voter fraud, who do you believe? How much do you believe? There is so much information, videotape, witnesses, sworn affidavits. I have audio of one of these guys who signed an affidavit that is jaw-dropping. I'm going to play you here in 5 minutes or so. I'm going to play you this affidavit. There's so much information out there. So you're overwhelmed by that. You look at the information and you think to yourself, this is huge. And then you look at so many people, not just on the left, on the right, saying this is virtually nothing. It's not important. And now I'm where you are. I've sifted through everything. I don't know what to believe. I want you to listen to this guy. I want you to listen to this guy. I'm going to play it to you in just a second. And you tell me, is he lying? Hang on.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, Ryan. You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free, it's nicotine-free, it's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.